like to give to the Lord here at the church, please let Jer and myself know, whether it be singing or something else. I believe in seeing the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to His children used in the church. You know, as you've heard me say this, and I believe this with all my heart, it's not about me just standing here and being an only voice. So if you have a talent to give, please make it known. We love to see God's gifts and talents used for His glory. Again, thank you to each that have shared those today. Okay, I'd like to take some time now and share from the Word to you. I have a subject here that is kind of laid heavy on my heart, not heavy in the sense that, just heavy, I guess, in the sense of wrestling with God over sharing this, if this is what He wanted. But this seems what the Holy Spirit wants today. I want to talk to you about two words today, and that is overcoming lies. I'm going to ask you a question today. Have any of you through this week bought into any lie? We have two people honest enough to raise their hands. Three. This week again, and you answer that. I'm not saying you have to raise your hand like they do. Thank you for doing that. But have you bought into any certain lie in your life this past week? Well, I want us to know that one of the chief things that we will battle with through our life as Christians is prevailing or overcoming lies. And that's what we want to visit today. And this thing is huge. And it's a deep burden in my heart. And I'll tell you what, sometimes I can't express everything that's in my heart wrestling with God over this, because perhaps I had Satan wrestling against me at the same time, trying to hinder me from sharing this. You know, ministers, preachers, and teachers, and you've heard me say, and this is a true saying, I prepare all week long. I don't want you to have the misunderstanding that I'm studying hours every day, but I prepare through prayer, you know, and praying. And oftentimes when there's a preparation for something that is going to be necessary, even if it be for one person, the devil tries to come against and hinder. So perhaps it seems like this is for somebody today. And maybe I know why I had some wrestling, seeing the hands that were risen so far. Let me share with you some opening words here as we introduce ourselves into the subject. Those of you that would like to be turning there, I'm going to be in Matthew chapter 7 here briefly. And we're going to be visiting verses 13 down to verse 27 will be our reading. And yes, I'm going to preach, but I also want to teach the Bible. I believe in teaching the Bible, teaching the Word to understanding. It's one thing to just preach and, you know, say all kinds of things, which is great, and I want to be led by the Spirit, but I also want to teach you the Bible. I want to teach you what this text means about overcoming lies. But before I get to Matthew chapter 7 and read the text there, let me share with you some opening words here. Please consider, if you would. Of all the misfortune that has happened both individually and universally, it is not without opportunity at these times of grief and pain that many have peddled ideas, promoted, by the way, as truth, that have added sorrow upon sorrow. Further sorrow, that sorrow being added to that initial sorrow of grief and pain, that further sorrow, by the way, being what is announced, for example, as truth, liberty, blessing, my right to do this or that, and etc., only to be found out a lie that took advantage of me and of my situation. How often in life this happens. Consider our present circumstances. Unbelievable. You look at the protests that have happened, and still, as far as I know, are happening. And we have leaders that have sat by silently because they have a personal agenda. And we have others promoting, yeah, wreck, bring havoc, destroy. It's your right. And they've taken, you know, this situation, these protests, and others have taken it to advance their cause and have peddled their lies in it. Only really to bring more damage to the ones that have bought into the lie, because those that are buying into the lie that, yes, I have my right to destroy, yes, I have my right to do it, what they don't understand is they're hurting their own cause and person. They have been peddled a lie and they bought into it. Take our own coronavirus thing here, perhaps. We understand it. It's a real deal. But perhaps we've had the medical world and the certain political people that have maybe, and it seems to be the case to a degree, have peddled a lie in this whole thing to try to advance a personal agenda. Yes, it's real. Yes, it's here. But I'm here to tell you that our nation is being bombarded by lies. We are under attack by Satan in the world. And there's lies that are trying to overcome God's people. And we need not to be overcome by lies, but we are called to be overcomers. I'm here to tell you today, not just you, but me. And I mean this and believe this in my heart. It's not just about me preaching to you. It's about me obeying the very thing I'm sharing with you. But I'm here to tell you that you and I as Christians will either be an overcomer, overcoming lies, or you will be overcome. You will not be neutral. You and I will be overcomers over lies that are being peddled in our nation, or we will be overcome. No question. Now, the point of truth that comes to our mind is, will we be on the side that is overcoming lies? This morning, with God's help, I want to help us all know how to overcome lies. I want us to know how from the Bible to overcome lies. Listen, it doesn't matter our age, young or old. We're still in this good fight of faith, those of us that are Christians. And listen, by the way, in case I don't get to share this in the message, if any has not that intimate, personal, abiding relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today's the day. Please don't walk out those double doors. Don't walk out those glass doors without knowing of a surety that Christ is your Lord and Savior. Because listen, without Him as our foundation, I'm here to tell you, not because I want to make this hurt, but because I truly love you, you will be overcome by lies out in society. Today's the day to have a foundation under our feet. And we want to look at our text here and consider two of the main lies, or the two maybe even main lies in our own life that we will deal with. Let us consider our text as we continue to introduce ourselves into this subject. Please follow along if you can. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 7 verse 13. The Bible says, enter, or we could say go in at. Enter ye in at the straight gate, the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them, or you will recognize them, discern them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Iniquity means lawlessness. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. We'll stop right there. In this text, I'm going to prove to you from the Bible how you and I can effectively overcome lies by first of all initially visiting its foundation. And after we look at having this foundation or visiting that foundation that is going to be the springboard to overcoming lies, I'm going to then look at the two classes of lies that are perhaps the great ones, may I say, that we will deal with in life. But let us get back to the text and consider what we have here. Look, if you would, back at verses 13 and 14. We're going to look at part one here, its foundation, and that is the foundation that is going to be the springboard to overcoming all lies, and in our text, these two main lies here. Let me reread, if I may. Enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. To prevail or to overcome in what may be our biggest battle as Christians, and that being lies itself, this will be achieved only, and I mean only, through rightly understanding our Bible. You know, those of us that rightly understand the Bible are both hearers and doers of the word. We are putting ourselves in a good place to overcome all lies. Let us consider this part one foundation that is described for us in verses 13 and 14. It begins with these words, a straight gate. The Lord's speaking here and he says, enter you in at the straight gate. By the way, a straight gate is an entrance. By the way, not a crooked one, but a small one. Because in the English language, you have the word straight, S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T, which means to be straight, not crooked. Then we have another word, or at least did, S-T-R-A-I-T, straight. And that's talking about a compressed place, something small, you could say. It's not something wide and spacious, but more compressed, if you would. So I want us to understand, as we consider this foundation to overcoming lies, we must understand, biblically speaking, what this straight gate is all about. Before I go into the scripture more, I want you to understand that back in biblical times, they had the biblical cities, right? And they had the walls around the city. Well, in order to have an entrance into the city, you had to go through a gate or gates. It was the gate that allowed you entrance into the city. And then once inside the city, perhaps paths and roads to wherever you're going. But you would never find an entrance into the city unless you came through the gates. There had to be a port, if you would, of entrance to enjoy the amenities that were in that city. So again, we're talking about a straight gate, not a crooked one, but a small one. Consider what the Lord said in John chapter 10, verse 9. And by the way, one thing that the Lord did so well, and I hope to be better and better at this, but the Lord was so good at taking natural things and turning them into spiritual truths. That's why you see here, enter ye in at the straight gate. What do you think these people understood in his time? They knew all about what a gate was. They knew about gates. They knew the importance of gates. They knew what gates were all about. And you and I know what doors and gates are too in our day and age. They're a port of entrance. Consider what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 9. Jesus said, I am the door. We could say the port of entrance. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall go in and out and find pasture. I may not have quoted that exactly, but you can look at John 10, 9 yourself. But Jesus said, I am the door. Listen, to ever find ourselves with a foundation under our feet to overcome lies, we must understand biblically what the straight gate is all about. And I want us to understand that the straight gate, I believe we can say, refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in this day and age, we have many voices promoting many things, many ideas, many ways, many entrances. But if we're ever going to overcome lies and have strength to stand up against Satan and all the gates of hell, we must understand biblically what a straight gate or narrow gate is that will only allow us onto the path, unto the new Jerusalem. Listen, Jesus said, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Those that look for him are eagerly anticipating his coming. Listen, how can we ever be excited about the Lord's second return, him coming again, if we've never entered through the port of entrance heading towards the new Jerusalem to come? Listen, there's a new Jerusalem to come that's going to come down from out of heaven, where the saints of all time are going to have access in, where the gates are not going to be shut at all. There's only going to be day there. But whatsoever worketh a lie, whatsoever worketh abomination, those that never entered in through the straight gate will not have access to that city. Biblically speaking, when we talk about this straight gate, we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm going to give you another thought. I think we could also call this gate the gate of grace. The gate of the grace of God. Consider, if you would, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It says, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We have many people in their own ideas and in their own efforts that are striving to enter the kingdom of heaven. Listen, there is but one gate. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. As Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." By the way, there is but one entrance, Jesus Christ alone. And you know, maybe you're like, "You know what? I got that solid today." I'm here to tell you, if we tarry longer in life and the Lord tarries, I'm here to tell you one thing that's going to happen. The Bible said, "But evil men and seducers shall grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Deception is going to increase to a place that, if possible, even you and I that have faith in Jesus Christ could be deceived. But we don't have to. But we have to have a foundation. We have to have entered through that great gate, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to consider on this foundation we're laying here, because listen, without a foundation, we have nothing. If you and I have no foundation, Christian speaking, we have nothing. It's a foundation that we're able to build from. And this foundation, as we consider this grace gate, the Lord Jesus Christ, but consider further what the Lord said. He said in verse 14, "Because straight or narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." He goes on to talk about this narrow way. And by the way, this narrow way, I want you to understand, is so closely connected to the gate. Consider, back in the day when they would walk through the gates into the city, what did that gate immediately lead them to? Perhaps a path? A path to walk. It gave them an entrance to have access. A path is a road. It's a state of progress, if you will, to go somewhere. Listen, you and I cannot progress in our Christianity. We can't walk down the road of holiness and righteousness if we've never entered through the gate. It is a gate that leads to the road. Consider when Jesus talked about a narrow way. We want to define this a little bit, because this narrow way is part of this foundation. This narrow way, by the way, is a way that is less traveled, resulting in personal difficulty. I'll explain all that. Just give me a moment. But a narrow way we could define as a way that is less traveled, resulting in personal difficulty, trials, temptations. Let me explain to you first on a natural basis, leading into the spiritual truth. Here in South Dakota, some of you have lived here all your life, much longer than I have, but I've lived here long enough to realize that we have non-maintenance roads in South Dakota. Many of you know those, right? You've maybe tried them, and you've experienced trials and tribulations. If you'd have just listened to the sign where it said this road is not maintenance, you'd say, boy, if I'd have just stayed off of it, I wouldn't have had that flat tire. But you know, in South Dakota, we have these roads that are not maintained, and they don't take the tractors down there and pave the road and clear out the debris and all of that stuff. Well, when you and I try to travel those sometimes because we want to take that shortcut or whatever it may be, sometimes we've asked for more than what we desired. We end up having trials and tribulations, whereas we thought we'd have a shortcut. It's like, man, I lost 30 minutes. Here I thought I would take this and save myself 10 minutes, and I've lost 30 minutes. Why? Because the road has been untraveled. It's not been cleaned out, and it caused more problem. With this being said, when Jesus was talking about the narrow way, he wasn't talking about a narrow way that was compressed or difficult because it was a depressive way. A depressive way. By the way, have you ever heard of a Christian that says, you know what, I don't find this Christianity exciting. I don't like the Bible, and I don't find the Bible exciting to read, and my prayer is so dry, and it's like, you know what, this Christian life, I don't even know what all the fuss is about. I see the pastor up there, and he gets a little red in the face and seems to raise his voice a little bit, and you know, this other person over here seems to be jubilant, and I don't know what all the fuss is about. I really don't have a longing to pray. And you know, when it comes to the Bible, I really don't find the Bible all that interesting. And the reason I don't find the Bible, and that's why I don't read it, because it's really not interesting to me. And I'm not getting anything out of it. Have you ever known somebody like that? Have you or I ever been in that state? Well, listen, when Jesus is talking about the narrow way, he's not talking about that way I just explained to you, that depressive way. But he is talking about a narrow way that is attributed to, let me read to you a few scriptures, if I may, in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus said, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Consider further words that the Lord said just a little bit further in that book in Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 27. And there went great multitudes with him, that is the Lord. And he turned and said unto them, if any come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Consider verse 33 of the same chapter. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. What is Jesus saying about the narrow way here? He's simply talking about a narrow way that's not a depressive way, but is a joy to walk. But it is a road where we don't live after the flesh. We don't live after the desires of what I want to do. We don't go feed the desires in the world and try to follow Christ too. But I take up my cross. Why? Here we go. Because I walk through the grace gate. I received Christ as my Lord and Savior, and now I take up my cross on the narrow way. And along this narrow way of taking up my cross, yeah, there's difficulties. Yeah, there's temptation. Sometimes people misunderstand me. Sometimes they make fun of me. You know, I've been out years ago preaching on the streets, and have had, you know, it was tomatoes, eggs thrown at me. I don't know what it was. And who knows how much cursing and stuff's been said. But you know, I wasn't doing it because I was afraid of the cursing. I was doing it because I entered through the grace gate and wanted to take up my cross and do what the Lord was leading me to do. And listen, when we're talking about this narrow way, Jesus was talking about this way that's not going to be a way where you can have your cake and eat it too. Yeah, just live after the flesh. Live as you did before you were saved. That's called the broad way. Jesus said, for broad is the way. But this narrow way is a way of self-denial. It's a way of taking up our cross. It's the way of holiness. I'm here to say the way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads to the New Jerusalem. Seeing Jesus on that cross and what he did, and because of receiving him by faith as my Lord and Savior, having walked through the grace gate, I now follow Jesus' example and take up my own small cross, denying my flesh, denying the passions that are inside to serve the Lord. I want you to please notice a very valuable point here. If you miss some of the other stuff, please get this because it's important. Because what I'm going to share, I believe personally, is important. It is the grace gate, Jesus, that leads to and empowers success on the narrow way. It is walking through the grace gate, the Lord Jesus Christ, that leads to and empowers on the narrow way. Listen to this. Many professing believers struggle with both the preaching of, that I'm doing today, and the living on themselves the narrow way because they skipped the grace gate. There are many that are trying in their own efforts and strength as a believer to serve the Lord, but come up empty. They come up discouraged. They feel abandoned. They feel like when messages like this are preached that, oh, you know, are you trying to teach us to work ourselves into heaven? No. I'm here to say that Jesus laid a foundation for overcoming lies. And I'm going to tell you, there are false prophets we're going to get into and false teachers today that are lying to us and saying, you know what, there's many roads to heaven. There's many gates to heaven. You know what? Just attend church enough, you know, get baptized alone and you're saved. And they are liars because they're not preaching the true gospel. But Jesus, because he loved humanity, wanted to lay a solid foundation so that people, his people, would not be deceived. With the proper foundation under us that I just described to you, I want us to, you know, you and I now, I should say, can prevail over two main lies we will deal with in life itself. And those two main lies are what is called false prophets, false teachers. I'll even call them false voices, false propaganda, whatever you want to call it, and self-deception. Two of the greatest deceptions and lies we'll deal with is the propaganda and voices of the false prophets and teachers in our day and age, and self-deception itself. Do you know? Self-deception is unbelievable. There are masses of people, and there are many Christians that are living under the umbrella of self-deception today. Let us consider, how do I know? This is the joy of reading the Bible, the joy of seeing the flow of thought. Now, we just laid a foundation for overcoming lies. I believe we laid it very, very clearly. Now, look further, if you would, with me, how out of this foundation, we're both going to see two lies here we're going to talk about, but yet we have a foundation to overcome them. I'd like you to now look at verses 15 to 20. I'm going to read those verses, and then we're going to take time to first look at false prophets, false teachers, the propaganda of voices that are not leading us to Christ, but away from Christ. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fires. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. I want you and I to understand something this morning. False prophets, teachers, false propaganda will be detected and overcome. Yes, with the foundation I shared, for sure, but also through personal recognition of what is being said to me. There are many people that are just like a vacuum. You know, they just suck in whatever propaganda and voice comes their way. They're like an open vacuum. And I'm here to say, being an open vacuum with no discernment is a tremendous disaster, because that leads to destruction. I want you to consider this subject of deception, because I'm telling you, it's huge. And I don't even know if I'm barely scratching the surface. And I want you to know something interesting about the Bible. And it is an interesting fact to consider. You can meditate in your own time. The end of the Bible books lay a common thread of truth, and that is avoiding deception. When you study 2 Peter, it's a book that talks about deception. When you study the book of 1 John, what is John refuting? Lies, Gnosticism. What is Jude, the little epistle of Jude, refuting? Lies. What is the book of Revelation calling us to overcome? Lies. And it's very interesting how the New Testament lays out in this chronological order of books, this, it seems like perhaps a final speech from God in the chronology of his books of avoiding deception. Consider Peter said in chapter 2, verse 1 of 2 Peter, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privily or secretly shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Consider what the Lord said when he was asked by the disciples about the end time events and his coming. The Lord answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. The very first thing that Jesus uttered when the disciples were asking about his return and the end time events, he didn't begin on another note, but he began with avoiding self-deception, because there are going to be many that come in his name professing, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the answer, and thereby, if we have no foundation, we will be certainly deceived. Consider our text here, if you would, that I just read, 15 to 20. I don't know if any of you have studied this or detected this, but seven times, very interesting, because I do believe the Lord speaks through numbers. I do believe he has a message in the number system, and the number seven speaks about completion. 15 to 20, seven times the Lord notes the word fruit or fruits. And as you study that, you count them yourself, you will notice seven times the Lord Jesus himself emphasizes fruit or fruits about these false prophets. Why? Because as you and I have a foundation under our feet that we talked about, you and I will be able to discern the proper and right fruit coming out of both true prophets and teachers and false teachers and false prophets. By the way, this fruit that Jesus is mentioning seven times in verses 16 to 20, is he merely talking about the fruit that we see outwardly? By the way, casting out devils, healing the sick, healing the diseased, raising up the dead, you know, prophesying powerful messages in his name, in and of itself alone? No. But when the Lord said that you will recognize them by their fruits, again, outward fruits, works all by themselves? No. But I'll say you and I will recognize them by the eternal fruit of the Spirit that proceeds from within. You know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were very good at appearing righteous on the outside in their day and age. And the rich man gave a lot into the offerings, and they offered a lot, perhaps, to society. And it was all what the people could see. But Jesus looked beyond what was just being seen, and he looked into the heart, and he says, you know, you're like graves, or however he said it, that people are walking over, or however he said it there. You know, you're full of all dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Well, I want you to know, and I to know, that the voices that we're listening to today, and that includes the very one you're listening to right now, I mean it. The very voices that you listen to your life, and that means the one you're listening to now, don't merely count them as a prophet or teacher merely by what you see, but by what comes out of them. And let me give you an example. I won't do it because it would cause a mess if I did it here. But if I took a Coke can and I shook it up for about a minute, and then I said to you, and it can be nice and cold, I just took it out of the fridge real cold, but I shook that thing up real good, and I said, Glenn, I'm going to give you a drink because I like you. I want you to take a Coke, and you had it. And Glenn don't know I shook it up, but he opens the can immediately. What do you think would happen? It's going to go completely all over him, and I'm going to tell you something. He's going to probably be upset with me and saying, what kind of trick did you play on me? What kind of deceiving thing are you pulling on me? Boy, that was a good trick you played. Probably upset a little bit too. But what a trick. Why do I use the pop can for an example? Years ago, I had an illustration when I was preaching an evangelistic message about this, not with a can, but with another item. But I'm here to tell you when you shake that can up real good and you open it up, you know, you're going to see what comes out of it. And I'm here to tell you that if you and I have walked through the grace gate, the Lord Jesus Christ, when we're misrepresented, when we're misunderstood, when the trials and temptations of life will come, when the bumps and the bruises, when people don't like your teaching, when they don't like your leading, when they don't like how you're doing things, I'm here to tell you, if you have walked through the grace gate, when your can, when your life is shaken, the fruit of the Spirit's going to come out, or the fruit of the flesh. And I'm here to tell you, a mark of false prophets is, yeah, they have the ability to do things outwardly, but you know, they do it for the flesh. They do it for what's in it for them and what they can gain. And I could go and teach you and show you verses. You study, by the way, seriously, please, study 2 Peter chapter 2. Study Jude, 25 verses, 2 Peter chapter 2. And you will find and see that false prophets, one thing that they're after is what they can get out of it, what they can get from another. The Jude said these are sensual, having not the Spirit. And so I want us to understand that the true recognition of a prophet and teacher is not merely their great doctrines in and of their self, not merely the miracles they may do. And there's nothing wrong with miracles. I believe in that today in healings. But I'm here to tell you it goes beyond that. It goes to be that when I'm confronted and when the bumps and bruises of life hit me, is the fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, is self-control. Is that what's going to emanate and flow from me? See, false prophets and teachers, they have no self-control because it's all about self. It's about what can I get out of your pocket for me? It is. Please study 2 Peter 2 and Jude pertaining to this message. You'll see what I'm saying is true, perhaps better than I can illustrate it. Secondly, we're going to get to the end of this message here shortly. I'd like to move on because having laid a foundation, you and I can detect false prophets. And I believe we detect them through recognition, and we detect them through proper recognition, and that is the proper fruit in their life. Secondly, I'm going to look at another major deception that we deal with, and it deals right with me. It deals with you. Second, I want us to consider this other major deception, and that being self-deception. Consider the words verses 21 to 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not? Here they go. They're going to give their list of achievements. Have we not prophesied in the name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Well, I guess self-achievements gets put under the bus real quick, doesn't it? These were people in Jesus' name that they're going to say, Lord, Lord. They're even going to recognize, it seems here from my passage too. Yes, capitalized, Lord, Lord. It seems they're not afraid to even recognize, Jesus, you are Lord. Don't you remember we prophesied in your name? That's what I'm doing right now, by the way. Prophesying the word of God, proclaiming it. We did that. What about the wonderful works we did, Lord? What about the demons we cast out? Have you forgotten us? Lord, don't you know we did this for you? And the Lord says, I never knew you. What is the Lord saying? You and I never had an intimate relationship. Yes, you did these things. Yes, you did them in my name, but you did not do them in a connection with me. You never walked through the grace gate. And because you never walked through the grace gate, the Lord Jesus Christ, you did these things for your advantage. You did these things for selfish reasons. You did these things to get into another person's pocket and live a lustful life. Because it was done in selfishness. And I'm here to say that one of the great deceptions in life, and it happens if we have not the proper foundation, is we will have a blanket of self-deception that comes over us. And many are going to do that in Jesus' day. We see it. Lord, don't you remember how much we put in the offering? Don't you remember my church attendance, Lord? Don't you remember I was a member at such and such church? Don't you remember I was baptized? And the Lord's going to say, yeah, I remember all of that. Perhaps, I don't know, I'm just saying this. Because we know the Lord understands. Yeah, I know it all. But I never knew you. I never knew you personally. I know about your works. It's like Jesus said, remember the seven churches in Revelation? I know your works. I know your works. Listen, the Lord has not forgotten our works, but I'm here to tell you, does he know you? Does he know me? It's not about does he know your works. It goes far deeper. Does he know you and me? Because I walk through the grace gate and the Father says, welcome back, son and daughter. Welcome into an intimate relationship. And now the works that you do for me really will be profitable because they'll be saturated in the grace of God. Consider what James said in 1:22. James said a powerful word there when he was speaking to his hearers who were, by the way, self-deceived, some of them. He said in verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Here we go again, deceiving your own selves. Deceiving your own selves. And I'm here to say one of the greatest deceptions will be self-deception. In conclusion here, our Lord Jesus Christ reiterates at the end of our passage for us, may I call it the crux of the matter to overcoming lies. He really is going to revisit in his final words what he spoke in verses 13 and 14. You know, he began this passage, what I believe, on a foundation, and he's going to end again revisiting that foundation. How do I know? Well, consider. Look at verse 24, if you would. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Those hearers heard the invitation, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. They heard the word, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Perhaps they heard a word or similar. And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Yes, Lord, you were lifted up from my sin. I hear your calling. I walk through your grace gate. And because they walked through the gate of grace, they were not only hearers of the words, but they were doers of the word. They obeyed the word. They submitted to the word. They loved the word. Because they walked through the gate of grace first. But consider, if you would, a little further. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. We see Jesus finishing with the realization that those that hear but do not do, they have no proper foundation. Why? Yes, they heard. Many have heard. But have not did. Because walking through the gate of grace only enables us to be a doer of the very words we're hearing. We must have a foundation. And I'm here to say, in conclusion, with this truth on overcoming lies, you and I will be bombarded, maybe at times, we will have an influx of lies that travel our path. We're not always with each other. You're going to hear something on the radio. You're going to hear this speaker say something. This preacher, oh, it sounds so good. You're going to hear that friend say something. You're going to read this book. There's so much propaganda. There's so much writing going on. I'm here to tell you, we'll only discern what's truth having a proper foundation. Without a foundation, you and I are open to many lies. And that's the very unfortunate situation that we're living in American Christianity today. And believe me, I try to preach. I want to be a positive person. And I believe in help. And I'm sharing this. God, I've shared the answer. We have an answer. I don't want to just share something that seems negative, people being deceived and without an answer. We have the answer. But I have a burden in my heart, and I can't but help but share it. And I know it with all my heart. There are masses of professing Christians that have bought into the lies of false prophets, teachers, propaganda, and therein, because they've done that, have taken those lies upon them, which has brought self-deception because they have not a foundation. They've not walked through the grace gate, or they're severely neglecting it, or have abandoned it. May we cling close to the Lord. I don't know what's coming, but perhaps we're living in the end of the days of the days. We have a lot of stuff going on. But the Lord put this in my heart, even if it's for one person. We must know how to overcome lies. And we all deal with it all the time. Shall we pray? Father, I thank you for the truth, Lord, that you have allowed to be shared in Sunday school and in the main hour. And Lord, I'm not always able to articulate perfectly, God, what you press on my soul. But I pray that you would take, God, these few and simple words and give life to them, Lord. Father, I'm asking that you would bless them. Please, Lord, bless them abundantly for the safety of this church, for our edification. Lord, I give you love and praise because you are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.